This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Gener Shabbos Haboisai, as we prepare for Shabbos Chanukah, Tav Shanayin Ches, Habalin Latoiva, we say in the Pizmain, Yevonim Nikbitsu Alai. The Yevonim gathered against me, Azai Bimei Chashmanim, in the times of the Chashmanim. Ufartsu Choymois Migdalai, they breached the walls of my towers, Vitimu Kalashmanim, Minoisar Kankanim, from the leftover jugs, Nasanes LaShoshanim, a miracle was made for the Shoshanim, for the roses, Bnei Vina, sons of understanding, Yimei Shmoina, who 8 days, Kavushir Urinanim. What is this reference? Why do we specifically emphasize Bnei Vina, sons of understanding? The Chachamim, it should say Chachamim, Yimei Shmoina, Kavushir Urinanim. So you say it wouldn't rhyme, okay, but we can't, you know, you can't sell your soul for a rhyme. You know, why Bnei Vina? What's this reference to Bnei Vina? The Bnei Vina made 8 days. Who are the Bnei Vina? Who are they? It would seem the Bnei Vina is a very specific reference. In Divrei Hayamim, in Aleph, Perek Yud Beis, it talks about the descendants of Yisachar. That the Bnei Yisachar, Yoidei Vina Lo'itim. They knew understanding for the times, ladas to know mayasa Yisrael, what Klal Yisrael should do. The Bnei Yisachar, the descendants of Yisachar, had a specific specialty. They were proficient in intercalation. They knew the secret of the Soit Ho'ibor, the secret of calation. They knew how to make the new moon. They knew how to make Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, they are called Bnei Vina. They're called Yoidei Vina Lo'itim. In fact, in Megillas Esther, it says, Vayomer HaMelech LaChachamim Yoideh Hoitim. Who are the Chachamim Yoideh Itim? Rashi says, the Bnei Yisachar, who knew how to intercalate the months. And this was a specific Chachma, which actually, in the Gemara tells us on the Pasuk in Maaseh Chanan, Ushmartem Ma'asisem, you should guard it and fulfill it, Kihi Chachma Aschem Ubina Aschem L'Inei HaAmim. It is your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the nations. The Gemara tells us that the knowledge that the Chachamim had of the Soit Ho'ibor, of the secret of intercalation, was what garnered them the most respect from the nations of the world, that we were proficient in this discipline. So the Bnei Vina would seem to refer specifically to the descendants of Yisachar, who knew how to intercalate the months. After all, Rabbi Yisai, one of the things that the Yevanim tried to abolish was Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, upon the reinstatement of the power of the Beis HaMikdash and the Chazal, they were able to reinstate Rosh Chodesh and exercise the power of the Bnei Yisachar, of the Bnei Vina. But we will try to explain this on a deeper level. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, so many times already we've quoted the Chazal on the Medrash in the beginning of Bereshis, where the Pasuk in the beginning of the Torah, in the second Pasuk, right, Bereshit Bavli Mashmah Veras V'ha'aretz Ha'isasoyhu V'avoyhu V'choyshech Al-Pnei Sahoim. The Medrash tells us that these four descriptions, Soyhu, Vayu, Choyshech, and Tahoim, refer to none other than the Dalet Galios. Aretz, Soyhu refers to Bavel. It refers to Bavel as Ra'isi Es Ha'aretz V'hinei Soyhu. Vayu refers to Madai, V'ayavhil Havias Haman, and Choyshech is Yavan. They darkened our eyes, they darkened the eyes of Jewish people with their decrees. Shahaisa Imeres, Lahem, they would say to Klal Yisrael, Kisvu al Karen Ashar, right on the horn of an ox, Shein Lachem Chelek Belekei Yisrael, that you have no shear in the God of Israel. And we've offered many, many Perushim, what the deeper symbolism of this decree of right on the horn of an ox, that you have no shear in the God of Israel. We've said Shar refers to the Chet HaEgel, when we were disconnected from God. Shar refers to Yosef HaTzadik, who's called Bechor Shar. Rabbi Yisai, I think we're going to offer a pshat today. I don't think that was ever said, and I hope there wasn't a good reason that nobody ever said it, but a new pshat, that really an innovative pshat in this Chazal. Because first of all, why is Yavan called Choshech? They darkened our eyes. What? And Bavel, it was all things were light. Why is Yavan specifically called the darkening of our eyes? What's the connection between Choshech and Yavan? In Mitzrayim, there were, it was Choshech. But why Yavan? Was the sun dimmer? And a new pshat, Rabbeisai, in Kisvu al Karen Hashar. And this we will introduce with the comments of the Vilna Gaon on Sefer Divrei Hayamim. It's probably been a while since we saw the Gaon's commentary on Divrei Hayamim. The Vilna Gaon in Adaras al Yon on Divrei Hayamim, it says, V'yamim rabim li Yisrael leloi elohei emes uleloi kohen moira uleloi toira. Says the Gaon, V'yamim rabim li Yisrael are the Dalet Galios. Leloi elohei emes is Bavel. Because if you live in Chutz Aretz, it's like you have no God. So when we went to Babel, we had no God. Loi Koyein, that's Madai. Taira, Zagolos Moikdan. Shekosvu al Karen Ashar, deny the Taira. So it's very telling that the Goyin refers to this Golos as Golos Moikdan. We always refer to it as Golos Yavan. And yet the Goyin is referring to it as Golos Moikdan. Now, it would not seem to be difficult, as we know, Rashi says, I think in Zechariah, on the Pasuk, in Tehillim, of Lam Natzeach Al Hashminas, Rashi says that the Dalet Goliyos are really eight. Bavel is, it goes hand in hand, Bavel, Kaldoi, the Chaldeans, yeah? Madai and Paras, Paras and Madai. Yavon and Moikdan, right? And then Rashi says, Edom and Ishmael. So really, the four Golosim are eight. It's right, Arba Shehim Ches. So it's not really Shver that the Vilna Gaon calls it Moikdan. After all, it was a dual Golos of Macedonia and Greece. The truth is, it began as a Macedonian empire with the rise of Alexander the Great. Now, Alexander the Great lived only 33 years. Alexander the Great had a meteoric rise to power, and it was very short-lived. He only lived 33 years. And the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Samach Tes, writes about the encounter between Shimon HaTzadik and Alexander the Great, and that took place in the year 332 BCE. Okay? The Greek era began in the year 319 BCE. The story of Hanukkah took place in 165 BCE. So the truth is, the Macedonians started well before the Greek era and well before Hanukkah. I mean, Alexander the Great rose to power, we're talking more than 150 years before Hanukkah. But the beginning of the Greek Empire, you see, after the fall of Alexander, so then Macedonia is broken up into four empires, right? You have Talma, you have Syria, you have into Seleucus, I think. So you have four different empires. So it's Macedonian, Greek. So it's very telling that the Gra, when talking about the Gezerah of right on the horn of an ox, you have no share in the Torah, refers to that Gezerah that occurred during the Macedonian empire, which is well before the era of Hanukkah. I mean, that's pretty disparate. We always think it occurred during the Hanukkah miracle, and the Gra is saying, no, it happened during the Gzeros of Moikdan. So let's try to explain that. Okay. Rabbi Yisai, comes the Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, Perk Yazayin, Halacha Chof Daled. The Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, tells us, you know, why am I relying on my calculations on mathematical formulas and calculations that are not of Jewish origin, because as is well known, as the Rambam himself writes, that the calculations that he derived for Kiddush HaChodesh comes from Greek astronomy and Greek study of the sky. So the Rambam is sort of being misnatzel. You know what misnatzel means? Excusing himself. Why am I relying on Greek tradition for the calculation of the new moon? Says the Rambam, V'tam kolel l'cheshboinos. Why do you add certain numbers? How do we know this? The haraya al kol davar davar, and the substantiation of this, hichachmas hatikufais, is the wisdom of astronomy, v'hagamatrios and mathematics shechivru by chachmei Yavan of Greek scholars that they compiled sfarim harbe v'heimanim tzamach shabiyara chachamim, and we Jewish sages have the books of the Greek scholars. So why don't we use our own books? Why don't we have our own books of Jewish astronomy? Why rely on the Greeks, says the Rambam? Avla sfarim shechibru chach me Yisrael. But the books of the Jewish sages, shehayu bimei hanaviim, that come from the prophets, which prophets? Mibnei Yisachar, from the descendants of Yisachar. Lo higiyu eleinu, we don't have them anymore. So the question is, but still, if we don't have our traditions anymore, we're now to read secular documents. How could we reread the Greek documents? Says the Rambam, let me tell you something. There's a very big difference between Greek mathematics and Greek philosophy. What's the difference? Greek philosophy is arbitrary. It's made up. It's conjecture. So therefore, we have no right to read it and rely on it. However, mathematics is objective. It's measured. You could determine the veracity of it by precise calculation. Says the Rambam, Yachar Shekol Yelad Rambam Barayas Berusheim, since all of these types of studies are clear, She'ein Bahem Doifi, with no room for error, V'yevshel Adam Lahar Achrim, there's no way to question them. Ein Choshishem L'machara, we don't care if the author was of ill repute. Bein Shechibro Yisam Nevi'im, it doesn't matter if the prophets compose them, Bein Shechibro Yisam Umos, or the nations of the world compose them. Shekaldavar shenezgale taimoi, anything where the reason is revealed, v'noide amitasei, and we could determine its veracity, barayos, with clear proofs, sheim bahem doifi, that can't be challenged, we could rely on it, alzeh ha'ish amru ha'shalamdu alarai shenezgale sav ha'atam shenoide. We could rely, meaning any information that's measurable and could be determined the truth of, we could rely on. Fine. So let's just get clear. The Rambam seems to be bothered by a question, and he gives an answer. The question is, how could we rely on the wisdom of Greek mathematics? What about our own wisdom? Why don't we use the books of the descendants of Yisachar from the times of the Nevi'im? The answer is those books are not available. The traditions have been lost. I question, but how could we rely on Greek mathematics? Isn't that inappropriate for Jewish scholars and a Rosh Chodesh to rely on their books? The answer is it's not, because it's not subjective wisdom. It's measurable, definitive wisdom. And anything which is definitive, it doesn't matter who says it, because we're not really relying on them. We're relying on the information. Fine. So there's a new sefer that came out. I just got it, I don't know, yesterday or the day before. The name of the sefer is Shuvi V'Nechaza. Shuvi V'Nechaza are the Chidushim of Hagoyin, Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, one of the greatest of the Bali Machshava of the last generation. And there is very little in writing from him while he was alive, and this was composed by his Talmidim, by one of his Talmidim. And he's bothered by the following question. He quotes the Rambam, and he explains how the Rambam is excusing himself, why he has to bring in the Cheshbonos of the Chachmei Yavan, meaning it would have been better to bring in the wisdom of our sages, who were the Nevi'im in the times of Bnei Yisachar, like we quoted the Pasuk in Devarei Hayamim, V'Bnei Yisachar Yoidei Bino Le'itim. As Chazal say, what is our wisdom and our Bina Le'enei Ha'amim, right? Ki hi Chachmaschem uvinaschem Le'enei Ha'amim. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Chishuv Tekufois Umazalois is our wisdom and our sagacity in the eyes of the nations of the world. So why do we not rely on our own wisdom? After all, that's what we excel in. That is our point of pride to the nations of the world. So why don't we use our books? And the Rambam answers, because it's not available anymore, so we can rely on them, because we're not relying on them, because this is measurable wisdom. So as for Moshe Shapiro, Zechut Zag Levracha, question. If mathematics is measurable wisdom, and it's verifiable, and it could be authenticated, then the Rambam implies that if we did have our books, and our traditions of math were available from the Bnei Yisachar, we would certainly be using that. It's just not available, so b'diavad we could rely on that.
Theoretically,
it should be the same. But why is it b'diavad? What's the nafkamina where it comes from? After, we're not relying on the b'nei Yisachar anyway. We're relying on, if 7 times 7 is 49, and you could count, because we're going to take 7, 7, and count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, to 49, then of what significance, we wouldn't have to quote the books of the b'nei Yisachar anyway, because we're not relying on them. We're relying on the measurability and the authentic verification of that information. So why would it have been preferred to have quoted the b'nei Yisachar? See, you have to say, he says in the bottom paragraph, Ela al karchach, shehasfarim shalchach me Yisrael, the books of the Jewish sages that we had extant in the times of the Nevi'im are very different than the Greek books. Even though our books would come to the same conclusion as theirs, because again, they're measurable, mikamakam besfarim shalonu, says Rav Moshe Shapiro, it would explain how these formulas are derived from the Torah. Meaning the reason why our books would have been better is because our books would show how this specific discipline was authentic, was emanated from the wisdom of the Torah. Meaning, what the Rambam is lamenting is that Nebuch, we don't have our books. Yes, the wisdom is verifiable, but we lost the way of how this information is gleaned from the Torah. So all we have is the correct conclusion. And therefore, because the Yana Chazaka is Kulay Torah, and he was not able to derive these mathematical formulas from the Torah, he sort of has to excuse himself. But what the Rambam seems to be saying is, listen carefully, that in the times of the Nevi'im, all disciplines were verifiable and we had traditions how to get them from the Torah, and that was lost. When did it go lost, the ability to derive the information of Kiddush HaChodesh from the Torah? During which period in Jewish history? So Rambam saying, Yavan. Meaning, until the Yavanim, we had certain documents, we had certain books, we were able to derive mathematical computations for Kiddush HaChodesh from the Torah. And the times of the Yavanim, that's when that information went lost. And Nebuch, from the times of the Yavanim and on, we need to rely on Greek culture, at least for mathematics in astronomy. We didn't say why. I didn't say why. I don't know. We'll have to see. So I'm going to bring to your attention something I don't think is so well known. It's mamish astounding. What took place in the beginning of Greek occupation? This is a historic phenomenon that is brought to the forefront from the Vilna Gaon. There's a Torah Shabbat Peh called Seder Olam Rabbah. It's a brisa that Rashi quotes. Says Rashi, an incredible thing. Perek Lamed, Seder Olam Rabbah. Look at number 9. This is Seder Olam Rabbah, Perek Lamed. The Hatsafir Hasoyer, the male goat, Melech Yavan, the king of Yavan. Hu HaMelech HaRishayin. That was the first king of Greece. V'amad melech gibar. U'cha'amdoi tishaver. And as soon as he rises, he will fall. This is Daniel's prophetic vision of the rise and fall of none other than Alexander the Great. Okay? Hu Alexandrois moikdan. Shemolach yud beishana. He ruled for 12 years. Ad kan hoyu hanavim esnavim ruach ha-kodesh. Until Alexander rose to power, the prophets prophesied Baruch HaKodesh. The moment Alexander rose up, prophecy ceased. An unknown fact. That the moment Alexander took the throne, there was no longer Nevuah in Klal Yisrael. Mikan ve'elach, from here and on, there's a new concept in Torah. Not listen to the Navi, but had ozen choshma direi chacham, and the Pasuk says in Mishlei, listen to the chacham. Meaning, until Alexander, it was Torah Shebichsav. After Alexander, it's Torah Shebal Peh. While they were in Nevi'im, they're still Torah Shebichsav. If a Navi says something b'nevuah, it's not Torah Shebal Peh, it's Torah Shebichsav. It's Tanakh. The moment Alexander rose up in power, that's when Torah Shebal Peh began. So interesting that the rise of Alexander coincided with the inception of the oral law and the cessation of the written law. Very interesting.
That was before. Okay. Now we're talking about Hanukkah. The Rambam says in Hilchos Gerushin. Listen to this. Perek Aleph, Halacha Chav Zayin. Hilchos, so what does Hilchos Gittin have to do with anything? Says the Rambam, V'chein tiknu sheyiu moinin begittin l'malchus oisei hazman. Chachamu mesagin, that for Gittin, we need to count by the king of that time. Mishim shalom malchus. So whoever the king is, whether he's King George, King Henry, you say the first year, the second year, of whoever the king is. Kasav l'shem malchus sheyna malchus oisei hamedina. If you write in one place by another king, or if you write l'binyan abayis, or l'churban abayis, if that's the derech, it's kosher. If it's not the derech, it's pasul. And what's the derech of Klal Yisrael? Ukvar nagu kol Yisrael limnois begitin oily yitzira, either 57, 78, or l'machos alexandros moikdan. Minog Yisrael is in gitin, either you write from the creation, or the rise of Alexander the Great. You ever hear such a Rambam? The Rambam paskins. Minog Yisrael and a get. You don't know of it. But if you have to write a get, either you write the date of the creation of the world, or Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, man dochar shmei, when somebody writes a get. What kind of Minog Yisrael? I understand. Minog Yisrael, between the fish and the liver, you should have abyssal bromfen. Right? That's a Minog. But a Minog Yisrael is when you write a get, right? You have to write the year of Alexander the Great. What does Alexander the Great got to do with writing Hilchos Gittin? By the way, that minog, it is somewhat still practiced. But Moshe Shapiro writes, he remembers when he was a kid, when he first came to Eretz Yisrael, the Teimanim, you know, Operation Magic Carpet, they came to Israel, they were still writing Gittin by the year of Alexander the Great. I don't think they still do it, but it's a minog mentioned in the Rambam, and apparently in Teman, by the way, we know they follow minog Rambam, the Rambam straight. This is a good example. They date their gittin. They date their gittin by the year of Alexander the Great. What's the pshat? What kind of minog is this to date a get of Alexander the Great? Comes the Vilna Gaon in his commentary to Seder Olam Rabbah. Unbelievable. The Vilna Gaon quotes a medrash that, as far as I know, is not mentioned anywhere else. That when Alexander rose to power, he wanted to put a tselem in the heichal. And the Chacham say, don't do it. They said, you know what, we'll throw you a bone. We'll date all of our shtarois to you. So they struck a deal that Alexander wasn't going to put a tselem in the heichal, and we now have been mekabel that we date all of our documents based on the ascent of Alexander the Great. Quid pro quo. What's the Mida Keneged Mida over here? I don't know. The answer is we're about to find out. What kind of deal is this? What's the meaning of this? That instead of putting a tselem in the heichal, we date our shtarois by the year of the ascent of Alexander the Great. So Rav Moshe Shapiro wants to know, look at number 13. What's this big deal of minyan hashtarois that Alexander was machshevit so much? Imagine, he wants to put a tselem in the heichal. You could just imagine what the tselem looked like. Maybe it was a statue of him, you know? Or there's some Greek god. And they said, don't worry, when the Jew divorces, they're going to put your name in the... But when they write a get, they're going to write your name. Oh, Kishkaya, that's a... Thank you.
Only getting or all
stars? I guess all stars. So what, you know, IOU. What's the big... What was the big bone that Alexander got? And also, why did we do this? What's the meaning of this? If you look in the Hakdama of Shas, say, Shas, there is no Hakdama of Shas. There is. Before Daf Beis Abrachais, there's a page. The Hakdama of Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon. And the Hakdama of Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon, it says that, you know, they weren't allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chiya asked Rabbeinu HaKadosh to leave, and he let him leave. And says Rav Nissim Gaon, as follows, that he went down to Bavel in the year 500, Lapisa Kanavua, of when prophecy ceased. When did prophecy cease? Asher hu tchilas memshelas Alexander. That was the beginning of the ruler of Alexander. After all, the Seder Olam Rabba said, what happened when Alexander ascended? Prophecy ceased. Meaning, what Rav Nissim Goyen is saying, ki oz hoizit chizmach husay, ukfar holach mi yishuv bayi sheni, shimpei zvukum nara achar chomen. Okay. Then look a few lines later. Look at the end of the next paragraph. V'yamos Ravina b'shnas shmoina meyas v'achad, 801. L'shtarois, 801 l'minyon shtarois, kiloi ma'ameis pisa kanevua. Meaning, this calculation that we told Alexander, that we're going to write on all documents, we're going to count by your ascent, that's not what our kavana was. What was our kavana? Our kavana is counting the years from when prophecy ceased. So Alexander thought one thing, but we had a different kavana.
We had a negative.
We told him we're going to count from when you ascend the power. Our kavana was counting from when the year that prophecy ceased. So comes Moshe Shapiro, he says, we see from this, Rabbeinu Nissim, that the concept of minyan shtarois, that the Rambam brings down Hilchos Gerushin, is not just l'kvoido shel Alexander. Because certainly this honored him, but that was only on the outside. But ba'oimei kadvarim, and the reason why this minyan still stands for Klal Yisrael, the reason why in Yemen they were still counting for Alexander, is because to Klal Yisrael, this number had a very significant meaning. That this marked a new era in world history. There was a world with prophecy, and there was a world without prophecy. There was a world before when Hashem communicated with man, and there's a world that Hashem no longer communicates with man. And this is something we wanted to remember. That means, when did Ribbono Shel Olam stop communicating with man? The ascent of Yavan. Somehow, Yavan created, we could say, a darkness in the world, a cloud in the world, a hefsek in the world, that from this point of time, Ribbono Shel Olam could not get through, or he didn't want to get through, or man did not allow Hashem to come through, a certain cloud that was now formed. Yavan glorified the guf, glorified, as the Rishonim say, to Yavan, all discipline was only as good if it was verifiable by our five senses, but there was no such thing as emuna or a tradition. And therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam ceased communicating with man. Says Moshe Shapiro, Obir Advaram, look at number 15, the second paragraph. Dibizman sheyavan bala oilam, nel moho avsharas liyas mekabal dvar Hashem. From the time Yavan came to the world, it became impossible to receive communication from Hashem. Dizehu hatuma shel chachmas Yavan. This was the impurity of the wisdom of Yavan. She'oisa mechitza. They made a separation. She'ein anu yichayim lekabel es hachachma mimkar hanachan. That we can't get wisdom from the right place. Why? Yavan brought down to the world that wisdom is what we understand and what we comprehend, and that's where wisdom begins and that's where it ends, and it only begins and ends with our own mind. So one second. So this is what Rabbi Yossi Chalafta, Ben Chalafta writes in the Seder Olam, that from the time of Malchus Alexander, Nestale Kanovi Achrain, because Yavan caused Nevuah to stop. That's the meaning of the Rambam. That's the meaning of the Rambam. The Rambam wants to know, why don't we rely on our books? What about the books of the Bnei Yisachar, the Nevi'im? What happened to those books? Says the Rambam, we don't have those books anymore. Why? What do we have? The books of the Yavanim. What's one thing got to do with the other? The answer is, the knowledge that the Yavanim brought into the world was the direct cause of the cessation of the prophetic knowledge and tradition. Meaning, the reason we don't have the proficiency of the Bnei Yisachar is because now the world has the discipline of Yavan. Yavan caused prophecy to cease. What the Seder Olam says outright, that from the time Alexander came into the world, prophecy ceased, is really what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying that why don't we have the books of the Bnei Yisachar HaNevi'im anymore? The answer is because the Yavanim are in the world. The Yavanim caused this knowledge to cease. What era in history begins, Rabbeisai, from the ascent of Yavan? Tarshavat Peh. That's what the Seder Olam Rabbah writes. Look at number 16. Now it becomes Had Oznecha, incline your ears, Ushma Devei Chachamim. By the way, we know that the Yavanim pierced the walls of Yushalayim. they breached the walls of Yerushalayim in 13 places. In fact, the Mishnah says in Midos, in number 19, that they instituted to bow down by the walls of Yerushalayim in 13 places, Keneged, the 13 breaches that the Yevanim breached in the walls of the city. Says Mishlei, look at number 17. Be'ein chazayin, when there's no more prophecy, yipara'am. The nation is left revealed. Says Rashi, when Nevuah ceases, they make pertzais in the walls of Yerushalayim. Rashi says, Kishagarman Yisosh and Nevuah mistalekes mehem. When Klai Yisrael caused Nevuah to cease, al yidei shem alim neviim, by mocking the prophets, then bo Yevanim, and they're parats pertzais in the walls of Yerushalayim. Okay. So the Svarim of Jewish history bring down, what's the timeline over here? That means, if when Alexander ascended, Nevuah ceased, that must mean the last Nevi'im died in the year that Alexander rose to power. That means Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. By the way, the Gemara Megillah says Malachi was Ezra. They must have all passed away in that very year that that Alexander rose. And in fact, in the works of Jewish history, we have this recorded, that the last Nevi'im, what's the last prophecy in the Torah? Zichru Tairas Moshe Avdi. You know what the Malbim says on that pasuk? Remember the Torah! Why? Because I'm not going to talk to you anymore. So now it's not a matter of you communicating with me. Now you just need to review what you've heard until now, because you're not going to hear from me again. That's how the Malbim extends the pasuk, Zichru Tairas Moshe Avdi, which took place right before Alexander rose in power. In the book Toldos Am Yisrael, he brings 40 years. Prophecy continued into the second Beis HaMikdash until the generation was not worthy of prophecy anymore. At that time, the 1,000th year from when we left Egypt. So let's think for a moment. 40 years in the Midbar, 440 years in before the Bayis was built, that's 480. 410 gets you to 890, right? 7 years of Babel get you to 960. That means the Beis HaMikdash was built in the year 960 from when we left Mitzrayim. 40 years into the Bayis Sheni, which is 1,000 years from when we left Mitzrayim. That's when Nevuah ceased. So Nevuah, 40 years, Chag Zechariah Malachi passed away in the 40th year of the Bayis Sheni. There's no more Nevi'im. Chazar Nechemiah Chag HaPachal Bavela. Nechemiah went back to Babel, the Yom HaSham. Haggai, Zechariah died. Meshulam ben Zerubbabel died. Hananiah Benoi stood after him. Ezra HaSofer died. Vayivku Kobe Yisrael ba'avel v'hesped. That's when Nevuah ceased. V'kama gadol hayetzarum ba'avelam shal Yisrael, when Ezra HaSofer was taken away. And it says their faces were full of busha when the Noisin HaMashiach was taken away. The pasuk says, "V'chashach mehem me'il hoyd v'tzefer." Life was dark for them. The Navi says that when Ezra died, the world was dark. The world was dark when Ezra died. V'chashah b'paranusam nechta mehem achim b'nei adam shayakos shom navi ruach v'devrach. That was when they were full of shame. That was the year that Daryavash fell to the hands of Alexander the Great. So if you want to know, when did darkness begin? The rise of Yavan or the rise of Mikdan? The rise of Mikdan. So he brings over here, there's another work of history called Biyam Derech. He quotes the Rabbeinu Nisim, that the Minyan Shtarais is from when, not when Alexander rose really, from the end of prophecy, meaning the 40th year of Binyan Bayesheni, Yavan. We began to date documents to Malchus Yavan. That's when the last prophet died. And he explains this based on the Gron Seder Olam, that Alexander the Great wanted to put a tselem in the Heichal, and he was appeased by the Minyan Shtarais. By the way, in the Seder Hadoris, or Rechil Halpern, he brings down that Shimon HaTzadik was Mavatel Gzeira by agreeing to date Shtarais to the Malchus Yavan. That means Shimon HaTzadik. When was Shimon HaTzadik the Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Yisai? Who did he take over? Ezra. Shimon HaTzadik took over Ezra. Ezra was Malachi. Ezra was the last Navi. Meaning, Shimon HaTzadik Haya Mishiyare Knesset HaGdoila Hu Haya Oimer. He would say, wait a second. Hu Haya Oimer. He's the first person who ever had Hu Haya Oimer. Why didn't anybody ever do Hu Haya Oimer before then? What happened until then? There was no other Hu Haya Oimers. Why is Shimon HaTzadik the first? Why don't we have Ezra Hu Haya Oimer? The answer is because Shimon HaTzadik began the new era of Torah. He began the new era of Torah. And that is the era of Tar Shabbat Peh. Until then, it was Tar Shabbat Zav. Now, it's very interesting because he brings over here that Nevuah ceased in the same time that the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah ceased. Right? The Gemara in Yuma says that Nevuah and ceased when the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah ceased. That means the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah ended when prophecy ended. So the same way when Alexander the Great wanted to put a tzelem in the Heichal, we were able to be mevatel that desire. The same way we're mevatel the Avodah Zarah for the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah through the cessation of Nevuah. So basically we told Alexander we're going to write in the shtar about the cessation of Nevuah and we're going to get rid of your tzelem. It goes along the same lines. It's almost the same thing. He brings over here, Harisha Pisaka Nevuah b'Ptiras Malachi. And the bitul the Yetzirah through the Anshe Knesset HaGdoila is the Sechadon in him. In the beginning of Malchus Yavan, Alexander wanted to put a Pesah on the Heichal, and he was going to reawaken what? The Yetzihara for Avodah Zarah. Meaning Alexander's intent was he wanted to reawaken the Yetzihara for Avodah Zarah, but we said, no, we're going to write for once and for all in the Shtar, there's no more Nevuah, you don't have to, because it's like Zeh L'umazeh Asalekim. The need for Nevuah is to counteract the Cheshek for Avodah Zarah. So we told Alexander, don't worry, you don't have to put a tzelem in the Heichal, we're going to write once and for all that Nevuah has ceased in Klal Yisrael. But this idea that with the death of Ezra, darkness came to the world, I mean, that's what the Navi says. The Navi Yehuda also writes similarly that in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, we had very few Nevi'im. We had Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. He says, the Tzlach writes in his drashas, V'shuv paska nevuah, V'ruach HaKodesh miYisrael. That's when Ruach HaKodesh ended. Eini tanu Navi, we have no prophets. V'chayzeh, V'nigshash, and now without a Navi, what are we like, says the Navi Yehuda? We're like groping ki'iver, v'afela. We're like a blind man in darkness. And therefore, he says, Kibam Rosein Oram miyom shekisa choyshech. The analogy that Nevi Yehuda gives of the cessation of Nevuah is darkness. So Mar Rabbi said, maybe we could say a new explanation. V'choyshech zeh galos Yavan. Darkness is a galos of Yavan. And the question is, why is it called darkness more than any other galos? I think it's specifically referring to the fact that the light of Nevuah ceased in the times of Yavan. That was the end of the communication from Shamayim. And I believe that that's why the Vilna Gaon, when he talks about the decrees of the Yavanim, specifically refers to it as Gzeiras Moikdan, because that's when it started. If you want to know when prophecy ceased, the Seder Olam Rabbah says, from the ascent of Alexander, that is the time that prophecy ceased. So let's add one thing. Anupshat. What does the word shar mean? Everybody knows shar. Shar is an ox, right?
Shar.
Shar is an ox. So I was thinking, but shar has another meaning in Tanakh in many places. And that is, shar is nevuah. Ashurenu v'layata. I see through prophecy, but not now. Or we say in Sichos even, shur ki avar chazen. Shur is a lashon of histaklos. So I found, I did a search, and many of Farshim do say that, why is Yosef called Bechar Shar? Why is it called a Shar? You know, what kind of compliment is that? Shar is a reference to histaklos, the ability to see. In the Likutei Maran, Nachman Breslov, in his first piece, he happens to write, just Agav Orcha, that Yosef is called a Shar because of a lashon of histaklos. There's a new sefer, Belvavi Mishkan Evna. By the way, just historically, the Ba'al Sheni stood for 420 years. So the Rambam says, yeah, based on the Gemara Navoi Dezara and Daf Tes, that first Paras ruled the era for 34 years. Yavan ruled for 180 years. And then the Chashmonaim 103. And then Hordis 103. You got it? 34 the Persians. 180 the Yavanim. That gets you to what? 214. 103 gets you to what? 317. And 103 Hordis. What did the Yavanim want us to write? Al-Karen HaShar. The Shar, we said, according to many, reminds us of the Chet HaEgel. What's the Chet HaEgel? The Chet HaEgel is 103. So to counteract that, Egel is 103. To counteract that, the Chashmonaim ruled 103 years. The Chashmonaim ruled Keneged. Kisvu Lechem Al-Karen HaShar. I would think, Rabbi Isai, that the Yavanim had a very specific message to send to Klal Yisrael. And that is, hey pal, you know, very nice. You had those Yisachar guys who had these prophetic books about how to calculate the months. It's over. It's over. All is lost. God doesn't talk to you anymore. Now it's a matter of our books, black and white. Now it's a time of darkness. God doesn't speak to you anymore. You know what we want you to feel? Kisvu al-Karen Hashar. Kshar is a lashon of Nevuah. Ein lachem chelak v'Yisrael. God doesn't talk to you anymore. Go, you have no more prophetic books. God doesn't talk to no Nevi'im. You don't have any Nevi'im. Hashem's not interested in you. It's a time of choshech v'afela. Kisvu akeren hashar. Ein lachem chelak v'Yisrael. Shar is a lashon of Nevuah. Right on the horn of an ox. Ashurenu v'layata. Shur ki avad chasidenu. And what the Yavanim wanted us to feel is that your Yisachar people, they're all gone, they're obsolete, they have no kayach anymore. Hashem doesn't talk to you anymore. You, even the Rambam, even Maimonides, he's going to have to rely on our books for Kiddush HaChodesh. So maybe that's why in the Pizmon we say, when they came back into the Beis HaMikdash, no. Some of the traditions were still maintained. You know who established Hanukkah? B'nei Vina! Who are the B'nei Vina? The B'nei Vina are the B'nei Yisachar. Not all was lost. There was still tradition of Nevuah. There was still connection to the Yimei Kedem. Maybe by the times of the Rambam, we didn't have access to that anymore. But that's why the specific connotation, as Rashi says, when Nevuah stopped, Upartzu Chaymois Migdalai, right? Like the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Be'ein Chazon, without Nevuah, Yiparaam. The nation is breached. But ultimately, through the Koyach of Tar Shabbat Peh, the B'nai Yisachar were still active, and they were the ones who enacted Chanukah for Lenetzach. Netzach Rabbeisai, Afreilchen Chanukah, Shkayach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.